Okay, the time is 1:30 PM. My name is Dane Herbat with Travis County. I'd like to call to order the Greater Austin Area Telecommunications Network meeting of the Board of Directors for July 13th, 2021. Agenda item number one is a roll call. Management, can you please lead us?
My name is Sarah Eichelberger and I will call the roll. Carlos De Matos, Gatton.
Present.
Ruben Reyes, City of Austin.
Present.
Sid Falk, Bickerstaff, Heath, Delgado Acosta.
Here.
Bo Kinsey, Travis County.
Present.
Dane Herbat, Travis County.
Present.
Jaime Guerra, UT.
Present.
John Colemorgan, Austin ISD.
Present.
Harold Knoll, UT.
Present.
And Steve Pyle, DIR.
Present.
A quorum has been established.
Thank you, Sarah. Agenda item number two is citizen communications. Do we have anything today?
No, sir.
And that leads us to agenda item number three, which is the review and approve the minutes from the last board meeting, June 1st, 2021. In your packet, please. This is Dane Herbat. Motion to approve the minutes of the board meeting of June 1st, 2021 as presented.
This is Jaime. I'll second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second to approve the minutes of June 1st, 2021. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, Gatton Management, can you please lead us through a vote?
This is Sarah. I'll call the vote. Dane Herbat.
Aye.
Steve Pyle.
Aye.
Jaime Guerra.
Aye.
John Colemorgan.
Aye.
And Ruben Reyes.
Aye.
The minutes are approved.
Okay, moving on to agenda item number four, which is the consent agenda. If there's any of these items that any of the board members want to speak to in detail, please do so now. Otherwise, the boards will entertain a motion.
Mrs. Jaime, I'd like to make a motion to approve consent agenda items 4A, 4B, 4C, and 4D.
This is Steve, I second.
There's a motion and a second to approve agenda items 4A, B, C, and D on the consent agenda. Is there any further discussion? Okay, hearing none. Sarah, if you wouldn't mind.
Dane Herbat.
Aye.
Steve Pyle.
Aye.
Jaime Guerra.
Aye.
John Colmorgan.
Aye.
And Ruben Reyes.
Aye.
The consent agenda is approved.
Okay, thank you, Sarah. All right, here's where it gets ugly, so bear with me. Agenda item 5, Board Chairperson's Update. 5A is the annual Gatton Board and Technical Subcommittee elections. So Sarah was kind enough to put together a little bit of a script. So here we go. We will now accept nominations for the Gatton Board Chair. Are there any nominations?
Dane, this is Jaime. Are you willing to serve again?
Sure, I'll do another year.
In that case, this is Jaime, and I nominate Dane Herbat to serve as Gatton Board Chair.
This is Ruben Reyes, and I second that.
Okay, thank you, Jaime and Ruben. Are there any other nominations? Okay, hearing none, we need a motion to close the nominations.
This is Jaime. I make a motion to close the nominations for board chair.
This is Ruben Reyes, and I second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to close nomination. Now we need to move to a vote. Management, can you please lead us through a roll call vote?
Yes, this is Sarah, and I will call the vote. But first, somebody joined us with a phone number ending in 2460. Can you please announce your name?
Wayne Wiedemeyer.
Thank you, Wayne. Okay, now I will call the vote. Dane Herbat.
Aye.
Steve Pyle.
Aye.
Jaime Guerra.
Aye.
John Colmorgan.
Aye.
And Ruben Reyes.
Aye.
The nomination has been approved.
Thank you, Sarah. We will now accept nominations for Gatton Board Vice Chair. Any nominations?
Dane, this is Sarah. I'm sorry. We did that was the motion to close the nominations, and we need another motion to elect the nomination.
Did we need to go to a vote to close the nomination?
We just did that.
Oh my God. Okay. I told you all this was going to get ugly. Okay. Now we need a motion to elect Dane Herbat as Gatton Board Chair.
This is Jaime. So moved.
This is Steve. I second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. Management, can you please lead us through a vote?
Dane Herbat. Sorry.
Aye.
Steve Pyle.
Aye.
Jaime Guerra.
Aye.
John Colmorgan.
Aye.
And Ruben Reyes.
Aye.
Dane has been elected as the board chair.
Okay, thank you, Sarah. We will now accept nominations for the Gatton Board of Vice Chair.
So this is Jaime. Currently, the vice chair is Gary, correct? And he's not here today.
Uh, This is Dane. Yeah, it would seem that that's the case. I don't have any indication that he would not want to continue with his duties, unless he's spoken to anybody privately on the board. Do we have Sid on the line?
Yes.
Sid, any thoughts on nominating and voting for a member who's not present?
Well, the question would be how to enforce it if you elect him and he's decided he doesn't want to do it, but that's a different question.
Could we go to another vote?
No, I think it would be okay to nominate him and elect him on the assumption that he will serve again. And if he declines to do so, we'll have a special election when he resigns the office.
Okay, this is Dane. That sounds appropriate to me. So not wanting to jump the gun, are there any nominations for Gatton Vice Chair?
So we can elect Gary or nominate Gary at this point.
This is Dane. We can nominate Gary or another board member if you so choose.
This is Ruben Reyes. I nominate Gary.
This is Jaime. I'll second.
Okay, thank you.
For the record, that's Gary Wieseman.
Correct.
Thank you. Yes.
Okay, thank you, everybody. We have a nomination for Gary Wieseman for Gatton Vice Chair. Are there any other nominations?
This is Jaime. I move to close nominations for Gatton Vice Chair.
This is Dana, second.
Yeah.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to close nominations. Management, can you please lead us through a vote to close Dane nominations?
Yes. Dane Herbat?
Aye.
Steve Pyle?
Aye.
Jaime Guerra?
Aye.
John Colmorgan?
Aye.
Ruben Reyes?
Aye.
Nominations are closed.
This is Dane. We now need a motion to elect Gary Wieseman as Gatton Board Vice Chair.
This is Jaime. I move to elect Gary Wieseman as Gatton Board Vice Chair.
Steve, I second.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second to elect Gary Wieseman as Gatton Board Vice Chair. Management, can you please lead us through a vote?
Dane Herbat?
Aye.
Steve Pyle?
Aye.
Jaime Guerra?
Aye.
John Colmorgan?
Aye.
Ruben Reyes?
Aye.
Gary Wieseman has been elected as Board Vice Chair.
Thank you, Sarah. We're halfway done here. We will now accept nominations for the Gatton Technical Subcommittee Chair. This is Dan. I'd like to nominate Jaime Guerra as soon as assuming that you're willing to go another year, Jaime.
This is Jaime. I'm willing to go another year, but I'm also willing to do a vice chair role if somebody else would like to step up.
Do we have a second?
This is Ruben Reyes. I second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Are there any other nominations? Hearing none, management, can you please lead us through a vote to close nominations?
That was just the first and the second for the nomination. Now we need somebody to motion to close nominations.
This is Dane. Motion to close nominations.
It's Steve, I second.
Okay, now we're ready for a vote. Thank you for keeping me honest, Sarah.
Dane Herbat?
Aye.
Steve Pyle?
Aye.
Jaime Aguera?
Aye.
John Colmorgan?
Aye.
Ruben Reyes?
Aye.
Nominations are closed.
This is Dane. We need a motion to elect Jaime Aguera as the Gatton Technical Subcommittee Chair.
This is Steve. Nominate Jaime Aguera.
That was a motion, right, Steve?
Yes.
Second. Okay, we have a motion and a second to elect Jaime Aguera as the Board Technical Subcommittee Chair. we're ready for a vote, Sarah?
Yes.
Okay.
Dane Herbat?
Aye.
Steve Pyle?
Aye.
Jaime Aguera?
Aye.
John Colmorgan?
Aye.
Ruben Reyes?
Aye.
Jaime Aguera has been elected as Gatton Technical Subcommittee Chair.
Okay, we have one more. We will now accept nominations for the Gatton Technical Subcommittee Vice Chair.
This is Steve. I will be happy to take on that role if no one else was.
This is Jaime. I nominate Steve Pyle as Gatton Technical Subcommittee Vice Chair.
This is Dane. I second. Thanks for falling on the sword, Steve.
My pleasure.
Are there any more nominations?
This is Jaime. I move that we close nominations for Gatton Technical Subcommittee Vice Chair.
This is Dane. I second. Okay, it's been moved and seconded to close nominations. Can we get a vote, please?
Dane Herbat?
Aye.
Steve Pyle?
Aye.
Jaime Aguera?
Aye.
John Colmorgan?
Aye.
Ruben Reyes?
Aye.
Nominations are closed.
Okay, now we need a motion to elect Steve Pyle as the Gatton Technical Subcommittee Vice Chair.
This is Jaime. I motion to elect Steve Pyle as the Gatton Technical Subcommittee Vice Chair.
This is Dane. I second. Sarah, can you lead us through a vote?
Dane Herbat?
Aye.
Steve Pyle?
Aye.
Jaime Aguera?
Aye.
John Colmorgan?
Aye.
Ruben Reyes?
Aye.
Steve Pyle has been elected as the Gatton Technical Subcommittee Vice Chair.
This is Dane. Thank you very much, everybody, for your participation in this. It went much more smoothly than most years. And Sarah, thank you so much for the script. It made a big difference.
Certainly.
So we'll see you again next year. 5B, Gatton Capital Metro Agreement Update, please.
This is Sid. I think we talked about it last week. The agreement was finally signed by both parties, and all that remained was for an annual fee to be paid, which I think Gatton did on behalf of the county. Sarah actually took care of those details, and at this point, subject to her correction, I believe it is now in Travis County's hands to complete the project.
This is Dane. Yes, Sid, thank you. And I believe we're still in the permitting phase, or we're working on that. Chris, can you verify?
Yes, it's Chris and Zoll Sprite, huh? That's correct, Dane. Cap Metro is requiring us to provide them what they call a railroad protective policy that protects Cap Metro if any damage occurs with the tracks. So we're in the process of getting that certificate from our insurance carrier. Hopefully have it within the week or so, and then we could schedule making the crossing. So I anticipate, 2 to 3 weeks, we can get the certificate over and get the work scheduled with Cap Metro.
This is Dane. That sounds good. Any questions on agenda item 5B? All right, hearing none, we're moving on to 5C, which is update on the continuing remote video conference meetings.
This is Sid. Sarah, did you want to speak to that? Do you want to
Sure, I can speak to this. So on July 2nd, Attorney General Ken Paxton announced that the suspensions of certain Open Meetings Act requirements, which have allowed us to hold these meetings through teleconference, will end on September 1st. So that will affect our meetings from September and beyond. So really for Gatton, we will have two choices. We can either go back to holding in-person meetings as we did before, or pursuant to Section 551.127, we can hold virtual meetings with some stipulations. Later this week, I'm going to be sending out a poll to all members regarding meeting logistics and preferences. So Section 551.127 gives us the ability to hold our meetings by video conference rather than teleconference, which is what we've been doing, provided that the person who is presiding over the meeting, AKA the chair, is physically present at a location that is accessible to the public, and the meeting participants are visible and audible throughout the open part of the meeting. So if we go this route for board meetings, Dane would have to go to, say, a Travis County facility that is open to the public and has a projector, and plug into the projector and have his speakers on so the meeting is audible and visible to anyone who might walk into the meeting room. For those who are participating remotely, you would have to have your video camera on during the meeting and be visible and audible when you are speaking. If you get it from your computer, you are not going to be counted as present during that time. There are technical guidelines that DIR has on their website for video conference meetings, which I will also send out to all members when I send out the poll. You know, after we poll members, management's going to meet with the board chairs and vice chairs to discuss logistics and different scenarios, such as what would happen if the board chair is unable to attend at a short notice, you know, such as after our agenda has been posted, et cetera. Does anybody have any questions?
Is Jaime. I think regardless if we choose to, you know, do this new remote meeting video conference wise or not, I think it'd be important for us to be able to do that in case it's ever needed or if we have trouble meeting quorum. And I also am kind of wondering out loud, the designated places we have for meetings, do we have the AV technology in place and support staff to facilitate that?
You know, that would have to be discussed when we have the meeting with the chairs and the vice chairs about whether they have a facility, if they would want to go to LCRA. At LCRA, they did have the ability, they had the projector that we could plug into, and you know, you could just use your computer speakers to project the sound, and then the meeting participants would be visible having your Teams meeting open and projected onto the screen.
Okay.
This is John. Is LCRA still willing to host a room for us?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
This is Jaime. I'll say for tech meetings, I would probably prefer to have them at LCRA still since the university doesn't have convenient parking.
This is Dane. The LCRA facility works for me as well. I do agree with what you said, though, Jaime. I think that we should work towards enabling the video conferencing long term, just so like you mentioned, if we have trouble making a quorum where somebody's remote, or just to enable somebody that has some kind of a situation where they can't be present, I think it's a good long term thing to have. Okay, so Sarah, you mentioned you're going to have that, you'll have that survey out this week sometime?
Yes, I'll be sending it out to all members this week.
Okay, that sounds good. Board members, please get that back to Sarah as quickly as you can so we can start making some decisions. Is there any further discussion on 5C? Sid, did you, was there anything that you wanted to add, or did we get it? Did we cover it?
This is Sid. I think you've covered everything. Just so everybody is clear, the usual requirement for having a video conference meeting is that a quorum be physically present at the location. The explanation Sarah gave for having only the person presiding over the meeting, presumably the chair in most situations, be the one that's physically present at the meeting location, is because the Act has an obscure exception in it for governmental entities that extend into three or more counties. And we are taking advantage of that exception to allow a video conference meeting with only the chair physically present at the published meeting location. I think just as a practical matter, not a legal one, you need to, while I agree with you, that having the ability to do this and maybe even having practiced these kind of video conference meetings makes a lot of sense for making a quorum if somebody is unable to physically meet in person. The meetings are, as a practical matter, different when they are in person and when they are all remote. Everybody certainly realizes that from their own experience. And I urge you to think seriously about whether you want to phase back into in-person meetings for that reason. Just keep in mind that there are advantages to being there in person. Not lobbying, just want you not to forget the option to do that and to take into consideration potential effectiveness.
This is Dane. Thank you, Sid. Anything else on 5C? Okay, hearing none, we're going to move on to 5D. Gatton Backup Knox status update.
Okay, I guess I'll take this. This is Carlos. The last the report that we had also, the generator has been installed on the roof and the piping to the generator has been it's been established. Also, the in-row coolers came in, except for one that was damaged and had to be returned. And that may cause a little bit of a delay, but not too much. We don't believe that it's actually really going to affect the whole thing. So, Sarah, let me know when you have some pictures that you want to share.
This is Sarah. If the board wishes to look at pictures, I believe we would need to do that in executive session. There is a 2-week look ahead schedule in the handouts that you can show, Carlos.
Gotcha.
So the board will need to let us know if they want to look at pictures in executive session. And this is Sarah, so you can see the 2-week look ahead schedule covers the period of July 12th through July 24th.
This is Dane. We're going to be going to executive session anyway, so I would not mind seeing a few pictures. I wasn't able to make either of the scheduled walkthroughs because of conflicts.
Any other questions on this other than looking at the pictures during an executive session?
This is Dane. Has the overall timeline changed significantly at all?
Not at all. Not enough to make an impact. Maybe a day or two. This is what we believe right at this moment. There's no reason to think that anything would change. We have 3 of the 4 in row coolers. That should be enough to get started, to get the room, you know, completed. So no.
This is Dane. Is there any further discussion on the backup knock? Hearing none, let's move on to agenda 5E, which is seeking approval for the Super Ring North permanent repair at 290 in Cameron.
This is Jaime. Can someone remind me why we didn't put this on the consent agenda? I thought maybe there was something that network management was investigating.
This is Carlos. We were, there was a request to have this sent out to another, to the other contractor for proposals from them. We did, and we got them back. And this one was still the preferred proposal.
Okay, thank you. This is Jaime. Another question. Is sure. This the one we talked about doing underground?
That's correct.
Versus sir. Aerial, or is it was it always going to be underground?
It is underground. Yeah.
Okay.
We yes.
This is Sarah. We brought both options to the technical subcommittee. The first one Carlos just showed for $87,000 was the aerial to replace it as it was, and the one he's showing now is for the underground bore.
The reason we are recommending the underground sections, we don't know that Austin Energy is actually going to continue having a aerial section there.
Okay. Yeah, I remember this time. I remember that something about they were able to reroute power without utilizing that pole.
Yes. So it's not to say that they're not going to go on the ground there, Austin Energy, with their power eventually. But at this point, they're able to reroute power to the other side of the highway without actually using this. It was a secondary connection, I guess. So.
This is Sarah. Just to note, we did file a claim with our property insurance company a couple of weeks ago for this incident. And we do, you know, we do have a $50,000 deductible, and, it, you know, they can only reimburse us for what it would cost to fix it as it was minus the deductible. So we do expect to get some money back from this, you know, maybe $87,000 to $95,000, whatever the temporary and the permanent repair for the aerial would be, minus $50,000. So just a note, you know, we expect to get, you know, about $37,000 to $45,000 back for this job from the insurance company.
Okay, well, this is Jaime. I'd like to make a motion to approve the Super Ring North permanent repair at Highway 290 and Cameron Road from the fiscal year 22 MAC budget at a cost not to exceed $133,000.
This is Steve, I'll second.
This is Dane. We have a motion and a second for agenda item 5E, which is the Super Ring North permanent repair at Highway 290 in Cameron, funded from the FY22 MAC budget, not to exceed $133,000. Is there any further discussion? Okay, management, can you please lead us through a vote?
Dane Herbat.
Aye.
Steve Pyle.
Aye.
Jaime Guerra.
Aye.
John Cole Morgan.
Aye.
Ruben Reyes.
Aye.
5E is approved.
Okay, moving on to agenda item 5F. So 5F, G, and H Unless legal has anything to discuss in open session, I'm going to move those to executive session in addition to 5D to see the pictures of the backup NOC. Is there any open item discussions on those?
This is Sid, not that I'm aware.
Okay, then we're going to move on to agenda item number 6, network managers update. 6A is the project status report.
This is Carlos. Give me just a second. I need to get. As active projects, we have the you all seen this these two projects in red before as one project. We just separated. It was called the A2 North Super Ring South relocation at 218 South Lamar. We separated because we have to do one ring at a time. Both of these are scheduled for July 28, the A2 North for July 28th and 29. The Super Ring South, it's scheduled for August 4th and August 5th. Okay. Those are the ones that we have scheduled for in the future. As completed ones, we have the A1 North Upgrade Project Segment 3 that was completed on June 8th, June 9th, as well as the B1 South Splice Case Audit that was completed in June 4th. We have received all the paperwork for those. As gotten driven future projects, we have the Super Ring North permanent repair at Cameron Road and 290, which we have discussed previously. Under entity specific projects, we completed the D1 North East Side Memorial High School. It was a renovation of the high school on July 13th. Actually, that's an active project that it's actually being done today. Sorry about that. Entity specific completed projects. We have the C2 South City of Austin Fire Station 51. It's completed in July 8th. And the B2 South DAR Textile Facility is Stastny. One of the entrances was completed on July 6th. For entity specific projects, we'll be bringing, this is just for future reference, we will bring in for the next tech the B2 South City of Austin Austin Convention Center marshalling facility. For those who are wondering what this is, a sort of a way station for trucks before they go into the it's not a way station, it's just a station for trucks prior to they get to the convention center in order for them to be able to manage the traffic of 18 wheelers coming in and out of the facility. And that is it for the project status. Is there anybody have any questions on them?
Carlos, okay. This is Dane. Go ahead and move on to 6B and 6C, the budget reports and the job budget report.
Yeah, this yes, is sir. Sarah. And I'm going to take over sharing my screen for the handouts.
Okay.
Okay, you should be able to see the budget. Let me know when. Can everybody see the budget on the screen?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
The reason for this agenda item was that management was asked to do a budget overview for new members, and it will also serve as a refresher for our veteran members. So I wanted to start with the annual budget, which we typically approve in December or January for the following fiscal year. Gatton's fiscal year runs from July 1st to June 30th. It's aligned with Austin ISD, who is the financial manager for Gatton. So for FY22 and the past several years before that, our budget has been $1.7 million. Now on this budget document, you can see the breakout of the budget categories in the middle. The annual budget is funded by the 7 Gatton entities. Each pays their percentage of the budget based on their network rights, which is up here. The network rights percentage is calculated annually as well prior to the budget and is based on three factors, which is the number of sites an entity has, the number of strands on each ring, and whether or not they have a presence on each ring. So in this top table, you'll see each entity's percentage and what that calculates to for their annual contribution. Some of our entities pay their contributions annually and some of them pay them quarterly, which is why we have both calculations on this document. Now I'm going to move on to Austin ISD's. Whoops, I'm sorry.
Sarah, this is Jaime. Quick question. So we are current, since the new fiscal year just started June 1st, does that mean we're in fiscal year 22?
It just started July 1st. We are currently in fiscal year 22. That's correct.
Okay. Thank you.
So this budget is the current budget. So I'm going to move on to Austin ISD's budget report. So really, I'm just trying to show y'all the different budget reports we use and how they all correspond with each other. This is the monthly report we get from Austin ISD. So keep in mind that these will always be a little bit behind, you know, so this is our July meeting and this is the latest report we've got from them, which is for the month ending May 31st. The cover page is, you know, the most important. It's the high level overview. The top number, 3.1 million, is the beginning fund balance, which is all the money that Gatton had at the beginning of FY21, not including the emergency reserve. So we had 3.1 million at the beginning of FY21. We took in 1.9 million in revenue so far in FY21. We paid out 3.58 million in expenses so far in FY21. 2 million of that was for the backup NOC. And we're left with a balance of 1.45 million plus our 2.1 million emergency reserve. Means that as of May 31st, Gatton had $3.5 million in the bank. So the next part of the report details the income Gatton received. And then this part details the expenses that it paid out in this fiscal year. And then this page is the budget category overview. And you can see at the top this year that we paid out from the fund balance 1.9 million for the backup NOC on October 2nd and a transfer from the fund balance for the MAC budget on November 30th and a transfer from the fund balance to the emergency reserve. Remember back in February, I think it was, we reevaluated the replacement value of the at-risk portion of the network and found that we needed to up that set aside for the emergency reserve. So we increased that from 1.55 million to 2.1 million. And then finally, we have the purchase order summary. So that is AISD's report that we get monthly. And then we have the job budget report. Can everybody see that on the screen? I don't know if there's a delay or not.
I can see it here.
I can see it.
Okay. So this is the final budget report I wanted to review. This is the job budget report I do for each meeting. I have revamped it for FY22, which I'm gonna show you in a second, but I did wanna go over FY21 first. So I'm kind of combining this and the next agenda item together. For FY21, let me zoom in a little. We ended up completing 19 of the 38 jobs that were awarded, so 50%. We paid out $972,000 in invoices for MAC jobs. We have about $824,000 worth of expenses that are encumbered that are going to be carried over to FY22. And so now this is the revamped Let's see if I can make that go over. There we go. The revamped budget report for FY22. You know, at the last semi-annual evaluation, management noted that we were working on a more comprehensive project tracker, and I've tried to achieve this with this new version. So we'll talk about the format a little bit first, and then I'll talk about the numbers. You know, just like the last one, we have job name, approval date, who it was approved by, if it was approved by the board or the network manager under his spending authority, the fiscal year it was approved in, the job category, the completion status, the ring, the contractor. And now we have the estimated cost for FY22. The difference now is that I've broken out the EMR cost. You know, so we have our contractors do a certain percentage for EMR contingency for Austin Energy. So I've decided to break out that cost to track that better and hopefully allow us to plan for projects better to see if we're over or under in our planning. So this is the total estimated cost for FY22. And keep in mind, as I just said, you know, we carried over $824,000 in encumbrances to this fiscal year. And so that's why, you know, we're so much in the red at the bottom. The next set of columns in green is unforeseen changes, which is different. You know, start tracking if we have any change orders that increase the cost of the job. You know, say for instance, the contractor has to take a different route because the route that they had proposed was not approved by AE, and it's going to result in a cost increase. You know, they had to do an underground dip, something of that nature. That's going to be tracked here. You know, moving over to the yellow column, that's our encumbrances. And then in the purple, that's what we've actually been invoiced. And then here in the orange, I've got the recovery. Previous, I had calculated the expected recovery into what was remaining for additional jobs, but I've actually taken that out because the recoveries can take quite a while going through an insurance claim process or a damage claim process. So, you know, I didn't think it was a good idea to have that factored in as, you know, we have considering that for what we have remaining for additional jobs. But I actually did put something at the bottom there that says what we've actually received, so we can keep track of this is what we were expected to receive. This is what we've actually received in this fiscal year. Now, moving over all the way to the right in the gray, the post-completion. This is for analysis after a job is completed. This is for overall project tracking from the beginning estimate to the ending actual amount. So we can see where the variances are, and hopefully this will assist us with project planning in the future. So now below the main table, we have some separate trackers. The first one is the FY22 jobs category breakout. And we have our four job categories, our developer-driven projects, you know, which for the most part, Gatton has no control over timing and cost. Some of these may be completely funded by the developer. Some of them may be partially reimbursable, like TxDOT projects, and some may be completely paid by Gatton. Then we have Gatton projects, which are driven by Gatton and typically prioritized based on board preference. Maintenance jobs are those things like case audits, splicing fibers to activate sites for an entity, things like that, and repairs are self-explanatory. So you can see the percentage breakout by category in the table and also in the pie chart. And below that, I've got jobs broken out by fiscal year. So we can see, okay, we had 15 jobs that were approved in FY21 and that are still encumbered now for this current fiscal year. So I think it is like 66% of the jobs on this tracker are from previous fiscal years. And so for FY22 jobs, we've approved four, including the one we just approved up here that's highlighted for the permanent repair at 290 in Cameron, totaling $420,780. Now below that, I've got a fund balance tracker. We've had the board approve fund balance transfers, and so I wanted to show that here. So we've got, you know, the reason that they were approved, the date they were approved, the amount, how much total's been approved, how much has actually been used, how much has been approved but not used, the fund balance after the total transfers, the projected shortfall we could still have based off of the amount of jobs awarded. And then at the bottom, we've got the fund balance bottom line, which is basically, it's just a snapshot, you know, to tell you if we didn't take in any more money and we paid out everything we have awarded, this is what we would end up with. You know, and that does not include our $2.1 million in emergency set aside, obviously. And finally, I'm almost finished here. We've got the backup NOC expenditure tracker, which was on the old version too. You know, so for the Gatton backup NOC, we've estimated the cost to be $2.35 million. Thus far, we've paid out $2.12 million, and we have $217,000 or $218,000 remaining to be paid out for the backup NOC completion. And that is all I have. Any questions?
Sarah, this is Dane. So that was a lot of information. Would you mind if any of the board members reached out to you on the side if they had any specific questions about anything?
Yes, in any please, of the reports? Please review this in your own time and, you know, let the information I told you sink in, and please feel free to email me if you have any questions.
And for those of you that have just come onto the Gatton board in the last couple of years, I can assure you this is light years beyond what we had before. So Sarah's really, really brought us a long way in terms of tracking our funds. Great work, Sarah.
Thank you.
Any questions from the board? Okay, Sarah, did you cover 6C as well?
Okay.
At this point, we're at executive session time. So agenda item number 7 is executive session.
This is Sid. You only need to recite 551071 and the 418s.
Okay. The time now is 2:23 p.m. I'd like to adjourn the Gatton Board of Directors meeting to executive session under Texas Government Code 551071 and 418.175 through 418.181. This is Dane Herbout with Travis County. The time is now 2:59 p.m. and we are reconvening in open session for the Gatton Board meeting. During the executive session, we discussed items number 5D, 5F, 5G, and 5H. There are no action items to take on most of those items. However, under 5H, I'd like to make a motion. The motion is to accept the Techstar offer of settlement in the amount of $67,267.41 and to execute the agreed release of claims agreement. Do I have a second?
This is John. I'll second.
We have a motion and a second to accept the Techstar offer of settlement and to execute the agreed release of claims. Is there any further discussion? Okay, hearing none, management, can you please lead us through a vote?
This is Sarah, and I'll call the vote. Dane Herbout?
Aye.
Steve Pyle?
Aye.
Jaime Guerra?
Aye.
John Colmorgan?
Aye.
Ruben Reyes?
Aye.
The motion is approved.
Okay, agenda item number 8 is discussion and possible action regarding the financial report. Please review in your packet.
Given the fact that Sarah did such a great job going over our financials, I don't know if there's any other questions that y'all may have. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
John, this is Dane. If we end up meeting in person again, how is our cookie fund looking?
We got plenty of money for cookies.
All right.
And hopefully we'll all meet again in person. questions? Does everybody understand what we present? I mean, Sarah did a fairly decent job of going through everything. Does anybody have any other questions? I guess that's a no.
Okay, this is Dane. Last call for questions on the budget or comments. Agenda item 9, review action items for network management and or GATN legal. Did we capture any action items this time?
This is Sarah. We've got send out the poll for the future meetings beyond September and note the completion date for the backup NOC agreement.
Okay, was there anything else from the board? Anything else that we need to write down? Hearing none. Okay, thank you, everybody. Agenda item number 10, confirm date, time, and location for the next board meeting, August 10th, 2021, 12:30. So it looks like we'll be doing one of the semi-annual reviews for GATN management, and that will be via teleconference. Any further questions? Okay, this meeting is adjourned at 3:02 p.m. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.